Preacher by the name of Al Martin, years ago, Reformed Baptist preacher. We used to listen to him in college. He had quite a ministry in Pennsylvania here. He said something that I didn't forget. He talked about he had discipline in his family and in his home. He had a father and a mother, and they believed in the Bible, and they believed in something called spanking. That's why, you know, you have this big bottom here so that it can absorb the spanking and you can learn. He was being spanked because he had a terrible attitude, complaining, whining, murmuring. And the father was spanking him, and the mother just had one comment. She said to the father, she said, "Spank him till he's sweet." I never forgot that. Spank him till he's sweet. And you know, Susanna Wesley was a mother. She was the youngest of 25 children, by the way. Susanna Wesley lived in the 19th century. They had more kids back then. At age 19, she got married. She got married to a pastor from the Church of England by the name of Samuel Wesley. And she bore 19 children of her own. And she took time to nurture each child, and she was well known for giving counsel and advice on how to raise children. And one of the things that she said about raising children, here's what she said for the children. She said, "Give them nothing that they cry for. Give them nothing that they cry for or whine for." She would never give them anything if they whined for it. Now, all of her kids grew up. They loved her. They thought she was a wonderful mother. They said so. She also taught them to cry softly, so as not to disturb others.
That's good.
Cry softly so as not to disturb others. You know, as we've been reading in the Bible through the book of Numbers and reading about God's dealings with the children of Israel, we may see wisdom in what Susanna Wesley had as a philosophy. So I'd like you tonight to turn to Numbers chapter 11. I know you've read this before. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1. And I'm going to quote that verse from Numbers 11, 1. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." You hear that? "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." Let me say that again. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." Now, I noticed here it didn't say exactly. I tried to find out what were the people complaining about when God sent the fire, and it doesn't say what they were murmuring and complaining about at this point in their pilgrimage to Canaan. But they had murmured, and they had complained, and they had whined many times before this. And you know, the Lord is being, he's known for having a long fuse. He's known for not being quick-tempered. But there is a limit, listen to me, to God's willingness to put up with complaining and murmuring and griping all the time.
Amen.
If you really are fair, listen to me, if you are really fair with God, your blessings and the many mercies far outweigh the problems and the difficulties that you have. You focus on the problems, you focus on the difficulties, but we need to count our blessings and focus on the blessings and the mercies of Almighty God, because they just keep coming. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the fact that he puts up with the complaining that we do and the criticisms that we do, thank God for that. But there comes a point when he's had enough of it. I said when he's had enough of it. And the Lord had supplied their request. He even had given them food in the wilderness that they wanted, that they ordered up on the menu. For example, he had spoken to them through Moses, and here's what he said previously. He said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning the dew lay round about the host. And there was bread in the morning for them for breakfast. In other words, he took angels' food and gave it to them because they were complaining about how is he going to take care of us in the wilderness? We were in Egypt and we had all this good food. How is he going to take care of us in the wilderness? Well, he had it all planned and he had the manna and he gave them angels' food. He also brought in meat for them. He brought in the quails from the sea and they were thick all over the land and they could just get the quails and have abundance of food. God provided for them so wonderfully and gloriously. But I want to say this evening, the title of my message is Stop Your Murmuring and Complaining. I was going to title it Stop Your Whining, but instead, biblically, murmuring and complaining. And number one, stop it because it shows your lack of faith in the Lord. And we go to Exodus now 17. Here's what it says. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why do ye chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Now listen, when they said, we want water. Where's the water? We don't have any water in the wilderness. God had just given them meat for food, the quails. He'd given them the morning manna in the morning. In the past, the Lord had done everything for them that they needed. He was a pillar of cloud by day to guide them. He was a pillar of fire by night. And when the Egyptian army was going to destroy them, the Lord was a very present help. He got behind them, and he was dark for the Egyptians, but he was the pillar of fire for the Israelites. And they saw the Red Sea split. They went through the Red Sea. The Egyptians followed them. The cloud separated the Egyptians and the Israelites. And what happened? God kept them safe from the Egyptians, and their chariot wheels fell off, and God brought Israel through the sea and dropped the sea on the Egyptian people. You see, they had God take care of them. So why were they chiding with Moses? Why were they complaining? Why were they criticizing, saying, give us water to drink? Why were they whining? And Moses said, why do ye chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? Now that shows the answer of why, listen to me, why you complain, why you criticize. You criticize and complain because you don't trust God. You tempt the Lord. That means you test him. That every time you have a problem, God is on trial again. We don't believe that you're any good. We don't believe that you're faithful. We don't believe that you're all powerful. We don't believe that you will do what we need done. And so you got to prove yourself. And while we're asking you to prove yourself again, we're going to criticize your motives. We're going to criticize what you're doing. We're going to poke at you, God, and we'll poke at Moses as well because he's right there as God's servant. And Moses said, why do you chide with me? Why are you really putting God to the test? Because he's the one that led you out here. It's not me, it's God. And so God had just given them all this, and he'd been the pillar of fire for them and the pillar of cloud. And by the way, once they got through the Red Sea, they praised God. But once they were in the wilderness again, they had a journey and they were thirsty and they came to water. And guess what? The water was bitter. And so right away they started to complain. And every time they complain, listen to me, they complained to Moses every time. One of the men tell me, what did Moses do? Every time they complained to him, what did Moses do? Brother Matt.
He asked them why they were complaining against God.
Yes, he asked them why they're complaining against God. He said, it's really against God. But what else did he do, Harold?
He fell on his face with Aaron.
Yeah, he fell on his face to God. He did what they should have done. You know, sometimes we're so quick to go to some person, even in church, and we've got this thing called texting, and we can just text, boom, 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 shoot something. And we just are so quick. But listen to me, we need to take things to God. And cast your burden on the Lord, and the Lord will sustain you. And it really is the idolatry of Moses here. The idolatry of Aaron, the idolatry of people. And we need to go to God and look to God. And Dr. Ware, our former pastor, he said, there's a fine line between a man playing God and a man giving godly counsel. Our pastor knew that line. But people need to know that line. And we are not here to make you trust in man, but to trust in God. You need to imitate the faith of people that have faith in Almighty God. And listen, that was their problem. Why are you murmuring and complaining? Because it shows your lack of faith in the Lord. Too many practical atheists running around in the church who believe in God in their head, but in their heart, they are always trusting man. And so instead of the Israelites reasoning by faith that God would continue to come through, I mean, he'd always done it before. Instead of doing that, they were accusing God and Moses of doing them wrong. Here's what it says in Exodus 17:3, when they wanted water. It says, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people, what? Murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Now that's a false accusation. It's false in two ways. First of all, it wasn't Moses that brought them up. It wasn't Moses' idea. It was God's idea. And number two, he didn't bring them out there, God that is, to kill them in the wilderness. If he would have killed them, why did he take care of them all along every time? And so the response should have been, God, we need water, but we know you've always been faithful in the past. And we believe you're going to do it again. And we put it in your hands and we ask you for this provision. But they did not do that. They kept every time their faith was tested, they criticized and complained to God. And stop your murmuring and complaining. It shows your lack of faith. Somebody says your slip is showing. Your lack of faith is showing when you're murmuring and you are complaining, especially against Christian leaders and so forth and so on. And so whenever you murmur and complain, you're doing something just opposite of what you should be doing, and that's trusting the Lord and obeying his word. By the way, they said, thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. You know what? Moses didn't bring them up to kill, but they killed themselves. Amen? They killed themselves. By not learning the lesson 10 times, they failed. And finally, they didn't get to go into the promised land, but their children did. Amen? Once again, they were wrong. So whenever you murmur and complain, you're doing something just opposite of what God wants you to do. When you go through a difficulty, maybe you're going through an obstacle in your life, a health problem, a financial problem, some kind of problem tonight, you're going through that, and you're going to be tempted to murmur and to complain about it. Don't do that. Trust God with it and obey what God wants you to do. And it says, and Moses, verse 4 of Exodus 17, cried unto the Lord. And what did the Lord do? He always gave him a provision. Well, what did he tell him to do? He said, Moses, take your rod that you've used before and go to that big rock that's been following you. And I want you to strike that rock. And Moses obeyed God. He trusted him. He obeyed him. And he went there with his rod and he hit that big old rock. Boom! Like that. And what happened at that point? One of the men tell me. What happened at that point when Moses struck that rock, Luke?
Water came out.
Water came gushing out of the rock. And they had water. Now, who was that rock? Well, we know from 1 Corinthians 10, that rock was Jesus Christ. Amen. That rock was Jesus Christ. And that rock followed them wherever they went. Do you know what Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, is following you wherever you go?
Amen.
He's got his angels watching out for you. If you could see right now, people talk about demons tonight, that's all right. I'd get more excited about angels tonight. I thank God the angels are around here tonight. And I thank God that Jesus is here tonight. And he is there whenever I need him. And he was there for them. And because he got struck or crucified one time, he is now pouring out to us something that will quench our thirst. And you know, every one of you has a God-shaped vacuum in you. Food won't fill it. Drink won't fill it. Physical relationship with the opposite sex or whatever won't fill it. Any kind of thing won't fill it. Partying won't fill it. Social life won't fill it. There's only one thing that will fill that vacuum, and that is God Almighty. And that's the water of life that Jesus gives us. And I'm so thankful I have that water of life. And that's what we need to see. And that's what he wants you to see. That Christ was struck so that you can go to him at any time. And a lot of times it's not a physical need that you need. It's a spiritual need. Remember when the Apostle Paul said, he was in jail, he said, I am content. He said, godliness is contentment is great gain. He said, I am content. Why? Because of the Lord in his life. And he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what? You can do that too. And God wants you to do that. And he wants to teach you that. And so the Lord told Moses to do that. Many of you in this church, I believe, are following the example of Moses. I think of Brother Zukowski here, youth pastor, and I think of him being in our college. He's a graduate of our college here, and he's involved with our college. And Bob Gray has taught some great courses in our college about problems and solutions. And Brother Zukowski told me, you know, something Bob Gray said really challenged me. He said, instead of just going to the leader and telling him a problem as soon as you see the problem, think through the solutions or options for solutions to that problem and try to solve it with God's help. And then tell the leader how that happened. And I could say Brother Zukowski does do that. He puts that into practice. And so it snowed the other day. And he gave me a text. He sends me text, and usually his texts are good news. And he said, Pastor, I've got good news for you. All the walks are shoveled from snow shoveling. They're all shoveled. They're taken care of. I wonder who did that. I think I know, but they're taken care of. The church is all shoveled. Many of you follow that example of Moses. Go to God, get the solution. And some would look at that and they would look at it and not look at it that way. Some would look at it and say, Pastor, text me and say, Pastor, who's gonna shovel those walks? And then it's my problem. And it is, I know that. But you know what? God made the body of Christ a body, right? And we each have our part to play. Amen, Brother Kyle? And some of you should learn that lesson. See a problem, go to the Lord in faith, solve the problem, and then shoot an encouraging text to the one in the church that bears the responsibility for that area of ministry, saying, here's the problem. Somebody goes by and sees a paper, you know, on the ground in church and texts a pastor and says, Pastor, why isn't that paper picked up? You know? I mean, pick the thing up and text him, say, hey, Pastor, I picked the paper up. Amen. So I'm just saying that stop the murmuring and the complaining. Follow the examples of those who through faith get things done for God and are encouraging others. Now, you see this lack of faith in Numbers 14, verses 31 through 33. Here's what it says in Numbers 14. It says, and we've been reading these things. It says, but the men that went up with him, that's Caleb, said, they went up into the promised land to look over the promised land that God promised he would finally give them. Now they're about to go into the land. And he says, they say, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land. Now they had the land. They saw it was beautiful. They saw it was a land of milk and honey. It had big grapes of Eshcol. They brought all those things back. They said, yeah, it's a beautiful land, but the land is just impossible for us to possess. And they said, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You see, what were they focused on? You know, there are some people that are here tonight, you're focused on the future. And you're all worried about what's going to happen in the future. And you know what? The future's not here yet. You're still alive today. Live for today. Live one day at a time. At the end of the day, live to put a smile on Jesus' face. And I like it. I was talking to Karen Grice, and she was reminding me what I've been preaching. And so I put that in the message. I said, you're helping me preach my message, Karen. I'm going to put that back in there and remind everybody. And it's a matter of today. Listen, God will give you whatever you need to face today, but he won't give you the grace to face tomorrow. He'll give you what you need for today, but not grace for tomorrow. And some of you just ought to click off your cell phones. Click them off. Just click them off. Throw them out. Get rid of them. Stick them away. You know what? You need to focus on God, not on the cell phone. Get off that blame thing. And you know what? I get up in the morning sometime and I have ding, 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 ding. And you say, what do you got the cell phone in the morning? I'm trying to get on the app to find out the scripture reading. And they got all these messages on the cell phone. And I don't need to see all these messages from you or anybody else. I need to see the face of God. And so do you when you go to church. You need to hear from God in church. And that's some of your problem tonight. You will not get rid of your idol that gets between you and God. And you're wrong-headed for doing that. And that's the way the people were. They were looking at the giants. And they were not looking at God. They were looking at everything but God. They were looking at the giant. I'm saying your murmuring and your complaining comes from a lack of faith in God. And a lack of focusing on God. Because that's what faith is. It looks at God. And it sees who God is. And it believes God for what he can do. And then when you see God, guess what? The giants don't look so big. Because compared to God, they're like little bugs that God can squash, right? But they weren't looking at that. And so I like what John says. He says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Stop looking at the giants and look at the God who is a giant God. Amen. We have a great, big, wonderful God. We have an almighty God. That God is the God of Israel. But they were not looking to God. And so they saw themselves as grasshoppers. So we need to look to God. Stop murmuring and complaining because it shows your lack of faith in the big God that you have. Number two, because it stops your praising and thanking of the Lord. We sang the song, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But when you're looking at your problems and you're criticizing and you're complaining your lot, You could be better spent thanking God for the things that He has done. You say, well, how's that going to help me now with my problem, Pastor, that I'm facing? Well, I'll tell you, I know people, they start out praying and they start right out with saying, oh, God, I got this financial problem. Oh, God, I got this physical problem. Oh, God, I got this headache. Oh, God, I got this backache. Don't start there. Don't start there. Start with God. You are so great. You are so wonderful. You are so good. You are so faithful. That's praising God. You ever heard the prayer acrostic, ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, that's adoring God, confession, thanksgiving? You know, it's like a sandwich. You got the bread on top and the bread on the bottom and the meat in the middle. If the meat is what you want to get from God, like a supplication or a prayer request, have a sandwich. Praise God on top and then underneath have thanksgiving. And put that together. That's why it says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's prayer? Praising God. What's thanksgiving? Thanking God for His many blessings. Name them one by one. What's supplication? That's asking Him for things. Prayer, praising God, and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the sandwich. And people that don't do that by the time, listen to me, listen, hey, look up here, listen to me. By the time they're done praying, by the time they're done praying, they are so discouraged because they're just praying about their problem and they see their problem and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and their God is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And they're getting small and ready to be crushed by their problem. Just praise God. And you might find out one day you're going to wake up and that problem is gone. God took care of it. Because He never fails. He never fails. God is faithful. And so always, that's why we always in church start our prayer time with praises first. Amen? And I'm praising the Lord for our prayer time. I'm praising God. We're writing down prayer requests and praises. And do you complain about stuff like that? You grumble and grumble. I had a pastor call people that do that gumblers. He said they're gumblers. They're the gumblers in the church. They're gumbling. Well, you're right here in the Bible. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be there with the 10 spies, Jesse. I want to be with Joshua, amen? I want to be with Caleb. I want to be with those that look to God. Amen. And I remember when I first was here as a young man with Charles Ware, that's what I wanted to be. And that's what I continue to want to be. And I found out that God blesses that. Why? Because He wants you to stop your murmuring and complaining because it shows a lack of faith in God. Number two, because it stops you from being a person that praises and thanks God. It stops you from praising and thanking God. And number three, because it, when you stop your murmuring and complaining, listen to this one. Listen, it secures the presence of God. It secures the presence of God. What do you need more than anything else? You want to know what you need more than anything else? God and His presence. Look up here. Hey, look up here. You don't need to be looking at any other goofiness. God is what you need, and God's presence is what you need. And so tonight, stop your murmuring and complaining because it stops your, it secures the presence of God in your life. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 22, verse 3. He said, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. You know what that tells me? God loves it when you praise Him. God loves it when you sincerely tell Him how great He is, when you tell Him how good He is, when you tell Him how kind He is, when you tell Him how merciful He is, when you tell Him how powerful He is, when you tell Him how faithful He is. God loves it when you tell Him and you ascribe to Him His own attributes. He loves it and He's worthy of it. You say, well, how much does God love it? I'll tell you how much He loves it if you go to the throne of God tonight. 24/7, and I get this from Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. He is surrounded by the four beasts, high-ranking angelic beings, 24 angels, high-ranking beings. He's surrounded also by a myriad of angels. And what are they doing day and night? They're praising God. They're falling on their face before Almighty God because he surrounds himself with that. He inhabits that. And you say, well, yeah, that's in heaven. I understand that. But what about on earth? Okay, take Paul and Silas. They were traveling and they were preaching the gospel and they got unfairly beaten and then thrown in jail. And if that wasn't bad enough, they were put in stocks in jail and they were put in what's called the hold. Boy, we need to pray, by the way, as you're praying for people, for political prisoners. The whole truth has come out, especially by Tucker Carlson and by the Kevin McCarthy has released many of the tapes. He's going to release more of them. Tucker Carlson had another one on last night that this guy, all he was ushered into the Capitol for about a minute. A policeman then said, come on out, and he followed him right out. They want to put him in jail for years and spoil his life and call him an insurrectionist when that is far from the truth and give these people no trial. It is worse than the Soviet Union.
Right.
It's horrendous.
Right.
And I will not shut up about it. But I'm going to say to you tonight, you need to pray and realize that God is a God that when Paul and Silas went through that, what did they do? They started singing praise to God. And they started praising the Lord and God inhabit their praises. His power came and he sent an earthquake, broke them free of their bonds and broke the people free. And a guy got saved who was over the jail just because they praised God. How about trying this the next time that you're all down and under the circumstances? You know, what are we doing under the circumstances? We're not under the circumstances. Last I checked out, I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm dead with him. I'm buried with him. I'm risen with him. You say, where do you get that from? Faith of the operation of God. And so it stops you and wastes your time from praising and thanking God. And it stops you from that. And it also denies you a sense of the presence of God that will make your troubles sweet. And it does show your lack of faith when you're murmuring and complaining. So the answer is tonight, stop that and start praising and thanking God. Number four, and the last one I want to say, stop murmuring and complaining because it saves you from getting spankings from God. How many of you have ever been spanked by a parent? Raise your hand. Amen. Praise God for that. You can thank God for that. Now, if you get saved, God becomes your father. He's your heavenly father. And you know what? God will spank you. You say, how will he spank me? He can spank you with sickness. He can spank you with death. He can spank you with all kinds of problems that can come into your life that are tailor-made because he's trying to spank you. And remember, I said spank him till he's sweet. Let's say he's spanking you because of your attitude and you get really down in the mouth about it and start complaining more and whining more and criticizing more. You know what God can do? He can give you a worse trouble. He can give you somebody else's problem. How'd you like to have Bailey's problem, that 13-year-old girl who has stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? How'd you like to have that? He could give you something worse. You could thank God that you got it so much better than so many people. I think of a guy today. He's on the phone with me. The guy has legs about this long. That's all. It's about this long. He lost his job. And I've been showing him some kindness, reaching out to him, you know, just being friendly. And he just keeps texting me because I guess he feels there's somebody that cares. There's somebody that cares. And I point him to the Lord, you know, point him to the Lord. He wants to come out to church. He's got all kind of problems. How would you like to have that situation? Legs about that long, deformed. I mean, whatever problems we got, we need to thank God. We can always look at somebody that's got a lot worse than we do.
Right.
And we can thank God for what we have. Or the Lord can spank us until we get sweet. You know, Christians sometimes criticize, God has so blessed your life, he's just poured it out on you. And we start criticizing over the little thing. And if we can't find a problem, we'll make one up and then pick a fight with somebody. Just pick a fight with somebody. Maybe one of God's people here that are overburdened with the work of God, and you pick a fight and start criticizing something. I got to criticize something and complain something. Stop your murmuring and complaining, or God will spank you. And you don't want that. I don't want that. Moses didn't like it when the people started getting spanked. He prayed for them. He didn't like it. I'd rather have you praising God and thank God. I'd rather have you sweet than being like that, where God's got to spank you up one side and down the other. And the Bible says this. It says, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Philippians 2:14. You know what? We got folks in this church that do that all the time. We got folks in this church that do that all the time. There's so much, if you're murmuring and complaining, you've got so many good examples that you could follow. You know, I thank God for our young men. I was just praising God to somebody else telling on two of our young men. At my house, we had a snowstorm. I was snowed under with work. I've been snowed under all week, but just going forward, taking it a day at a time. And I went out. I had to go out and do an appointment, and I was going out. And I thought, oh, man, that's snow. Let's see how it is. I looked out. My steps had salt on the steps. They were all shoveled. The driveway was shoveled up the way. And I found out Brother Matt and Brother Kyle had shoveled that and salted that. They perceived a problem and solved that problem. They didn't even tell me about it, but it was solved. And there are many of you that do that tonight. And I want to point to you and say you are not murmuring and complaining. You are doing what it says here. You are having faith in God, and you are stepping out in faith. You are trusting and obeying. You are praising and thanking God. You are securing the presence of God over your life. He's there, just like Joseph in Egypt. The hand of God was with him. And you are not being chastened by God because you're giving thanks, like it says in First Thessalonians 5, in everything, give thanks. You know what I found out about the Israelites? They didn't give thanks in everything. You know when they gave thanks? After God did something. Then they would praise God, you know, jump around, dance and praise. Oh, that's so wonderful. But when it happened, they said, oh, God, you're against us. You're going to destroy us. Yeah. And then God would still bless them anyway. Then they would praise God. Do you know what they did? They lived on God's acts. A-C-T-S. They lived on his acts. A very shallow, immature person or Christian lives on God's acts. But a mature Christian lives on God's ways. He gets to know what God's like. He says, oh, I know what God's doing here. God's testing my faith. God's testing my praise and whether I'll praise him and whether I'll thank. And Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm just saying, learn from the examples in the Bible, the good examples. Learn from the examples of those around you. And don't get caught up. Now, one of the things that will cause us to murmur and complain is what I call getting out of your lane. You know what getting out of your lane is? You need a four-letter word, W-O-R-K, work. And you've got so much time on your hand. I'll be honest with you, at this point in my life, I have less leisure than ever in one sense because I'm always working. A lot of times it's with the desk, it's with the laptop, it's with that kind of work, but it's just constant. I do not mind it. I love it. It's good. Work is good. What I hate is when somebody is not in their lane and they're trying to be over my lane. Let me drive the car. Get out of my steering wheel, you backseat driver. Makes me angry. Now you say, you're getting angry, Pastor. I'm just showing you how God felt at the beginning of this sermon when it said he sent fire because they were complaining. And he doesn't even say what they were complaining about at this point. But they just had that problem. So the message is stop You're murmuring and complaining. You're showing your slip. You're showing your lack of faith. You're keeping yourself from praising and you're thanking God. You're getting God to withdraw from you His presence. And you are calling for spanking upon yourself so that you'll get sweet. May God help us. He that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit says to the church. I'm going to ask that we bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about stop complaining. Don't look at your neighbor. Look at